You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
What's going on, everyone? Joe and Mike back again, buildassetsonline.com, all up in your ear holes. Another day, another dollar. Today, we're talking about Google Ads versus Bing Ads. What's better? What should you use? I think the question of what's better is, you know, probably pretty obvious to some, but I think the real question people wonder about is it worth even doing Bing ads? And that's what we're going to talk about today, right, Mike?
Yeah, Joe, but I think we should address the elephant in the room. We're not in our mother's basements anymore.
Now we moved out. Congratulations. You know, all these years of YouTube, we finally are able to afford this high-end
studio. Broke open the piggy bank.
Yeah.
So with Bing ads, obviously it's something we get asked about all the time with our students. You know, should I go on Bing ads? Is it worth it? And I remember back in the day when we first started doing dropshipping, I would see these posts from people like, oh, I'm on Bing. It's way better than Google. I'm getting all these sales, blah, 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 blah. And so we've tried this on many, many stores. And so there's a few different points we're going to go through to discuss. Is Bing ads that good? Should you use it instead of Google? Should you use it with Google? And my opinion on Bing ads right now, I'll say it right now, is pretty low.
Right.
I hate Bing.
Well, we had some discrepancies, some issues with Bing where we got charged, and we'll get into that towards the end of how we spent a bunch of extra money on Bing that we didn't need to. But first, I want to talk about the demographic of Bing versus Google. There's a lot of different search engines out there. You know, it's a kind of a big topic nowadays. We got Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, Brave browser has its own search engine, and there's kind of a different spectrum of users for each one. I feel like Google is the average, everyday person. Bing is someone that's, you know, pretty much tech illiterate, and they got it installed on their Windows device with their Windows 11 device or whatever. DuckDuckGo, Brave, more for the tech-savvy people who super, super care about privacy. But
and you got Yahoo as well, which is just for boomers.
Yeah. Bing and Yahoo, I think, are for boomers, obviously.
Bing, I can understand you're at the workplace. It's like automatically on there because whatever. But so Bing ads actually encompasses DuckDuckGo, Yahoo, and whatever. Yeah, Bing itself as a search engine. So
okay.
You actually get a mix of demographics. But, you know, sometimes I would see sales come through from DuckDuckGo. I'm like, all right, that's cool. But the majority of demographic you have that are doing Bing searches are honestly a lot of older people and a lot of people kind of just in their office shopping. And so, like, we've talked about sometimes people will call us and be like, oh, is this Walmart? Like, that's a typical Bing user base. And so that could be good or that could be bad, right? Because you can get sales pretty easily if someone thinks you're Walmart. Like, the trust is already basically baked in. You don't need to do much extra legwork.
But the downside is people think you're Walmart. It might be hard to deal with a customer like that.
Right, right. So it's a matter of, do you want to deal with that customer base? So again, historically, it's something we've gotten sales from. I think it makes it a little bit easier to get sales. But right, you have to make the decision based on the products you're selling. Do you want to deal with that type of customer?
Right. So let's talk about the search engine itself, Mike. Is the same volume there for Bing as you're going to get on Google? My guess is not even close. I don't know what the exact search engine market share is, but whenever I look at any site, I look at the search engine traffic, you know, from organic or from wherever, Google is always the top percent by a mile.
Right. It's probably 80-20. Google has like 80.
Even 20. It's about 20.
I'll give it 20. I mean, if you're taking into account DuckDuckGo, Yahoo, whatever. Okay. I think that's fine. But yeah, so the amount of volume just isn't even there. So when we're talking about going from, you know, going to 100,000 in sales, that's easily doable with Google. And then you may say, all right, let me add on Bing. But what is that actually going to get you? If you do Bing just as well as you do Google Ads, it's going to, you know, get you another 20,000 in sales. So is that really going to move the needle in terms of making a huge impact on your business? Or should you just go and make another store and do 100,000 on Google in that store? Or just focus more on Google. Spend that time doing more text ads or, you know, doing some of the more advanced things like the YouTube ads and the retargeting, et cetera.
And you in the audience are well aware that we love our long tail keywords. And when we're talking about even with ads and getting conversions off of a super long tail keyword, when we're talking about keywords that get 10, 20 searches a month, suddenly you take a 20% slice of that. You're talking about virtually nothing. And those are the highest converting keywords. So that said, if you do things the way we teach and you focus on those, you're not going to get those same results from Bing as you would from Google, because the volume, you know, it's not like you go from 10,000 to 2,000. You go from 20 to 2. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very important point, because, yeah, there's so many sales to be had within those long tail keywords, and those are just going to be just way fewer and far between. So next I want to talk about the platform itself. How does the platform work, and is it a good platform? So when we started doing Bing, I would basically just go in there and I would do everything myself and just try and replicate, you know, what we were doing on Google. And so that was all right. But you would just have to remember to go in and continually update whatever you did on Google. You have to do it on Bing. So now you're kind of managing two ad accounts just for one store. And then Bing came out with this nice little feature that's like, hey, we'll import your Google Ads account right into Bing. So you don't have to do that. And so I started doing that, and I kind of left it alone, because whenever I was using Bing, I was not doing it in a very aggressive way. I would just do it to get some extra volume in, get some of the Walmart customers, et cetera, and just let it be. And then all of a sudden I go and I check Bing, and it's been a couple months, and it's been racking up spend.
Yeah.
And I was going back and forth. I was like, all right, well, I don't know why this happened. Like, my segmentation isn't working. It's not doing the branded, non-branded thing that we talk about in other videos. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll lower all the budgets. Like, I'm going to change this. I changed a whole bunch of things to fix it. And then I come back a month later. And I'm like, wait, I thought I changed all this stuff.
This is where things went awry. This is where you messed up. This is where we spent all that extra money, you son of a gun.
Yeah. So I'm like, I thought I changed this. All right, I'll change it again. And then I check back. I'm like, all right, I'll check back tomorrow or something. And it went back again. I'm like, all right, something's up. And I realized with this import feature, it's actually going and it's fetching my Google ads every single day and just putting those bids back.
Yeah.
So you could say, all right, that's my fault because I wasn't using everything right. But still, like, that sucks. Like, if I make a change in Bing, it should override the import, or else what's the point?
Yeah.
Because there, as much as Bing wants to make Bing exactly like Google Ads, it's not.
You know what's kind of funny, Mike? I think this speaks to something that's a much broader point. When you look at any of these tech platforms, these ad platforms, even like Google, Facebook, whatever, I feel like the people that make the platform, they don't manage the ads on the platform. So they essentially don't really understand how it all works compared to how, like, you might understand how it all works being in it and actually spending money in it. They don't understand how it works in the real world, if you will.
Right, yeah. It's just a terrible feature that if I'm going to make a change inside the account, that should override my import. And that's like something that Google does, right? Like, when you make a change at a more micro scale, it overrides whatever you did at the macro level. Like, for example, if you have a campaign and you do, if you have like a device, like a mobile adjustment, say you're going to bid less by 50% on this particular campaign, if you actually go inside the campaign and go into an ad group, then if you make an adjustment there, that overrides everything. So it's like different user interface things like that that have a big impact. And also, like the segmentation we talk about, all right, you want branded keywords in one campaign, non-branded keywords in another campaign. You take for granted that that just works on Google. In Bing, there's all sorts of leak-throughs and like all sorts of stupid things that happen that, again, make the import feature basically worthless.
So do you think that this is something that it just doesn't work the way it's supposed to, or you're doing something wrong based on inexperience with Bing?
Maybe if I just had it import once or I would manually import it every time, that would be helpful. But that would, again, override everything I already did in Bing. Like, I can't continually optimize it and easily use that import feature. On top of that, with like the text ads, the match types don't sync up.
Right.
So it would take things that I had there and it would make it a broad match, which just makes it like you can show up for anything.
Right.
Like, there's like a bubbly soda I'm looking at right here. You could show up for, I don't know, Poland Spring. Right. Because they're both types of water. Like the broad match thing is stupid. But yeah, so that was really what ended our relationship with Bing. And so we'll move on and talk about the actual cost of Bing advertising. So the cost per click.
Right.
And so,
but just to say one more thing on that, if it's not going to be a direct import, you're going to be spending the same amount of time on Google ads versus Bing ads for a much lesser result.
Exactly.
And we always talk about what could you do the next thing? What's the next thing you do that can yield you the biggest result? And it's not necessarily going to Bing. It could be just getting a new supplier if you're drop shipping, or even, you know, starting a new website versus going to Bing. You have to think about the next logical activity that's going to get you the biggest return. And it sounds like from what we're talking about, Bing ads is not likely to be that thing.
Right. Because of the, you know, amount of market share they take up and for how cumbersome the platform is and all that. It's already out in my book. But now we'll get to the cost per click, because you would think, all right, there's less competition. So therefore there should be the cost should be cheaper. And obviously if they're a good platform, they would probably want to subsidize their clicks so that, you know, they're cheap and people are like, oh wow, this is great. I want to get onto Bing, et cetera. But no, the clicks are actually more expensive for more shit keywords.
Why is that?
I mean, I don't know. They're the ones that set the prices. So it's like,
wasn't it an auction type thing?
I mean, it is, but I just can't believe it.
Okay.
I can't believe that on Google, I'm getting cheaper clicks for the same keyword versus Bing. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know exactly why and if that would vary across different niches or whatever. But, you know, based on our experience, the fact that that's even remotely possible that the CPC is higher is not good.
What I'm saying is, again, they should do some sort of subsidy, right? Where it's like they make things cheaper on purpose to encourage people to get over to the platform. Because, like, yeah, there's an auction that's happening, but does Bing really care if they're getting $2 for that click versus $1? And what would that do to, again, the, you know, the advertiser base if they can incentivize it a little bit more? So lastly, I want to talk about the advanced functions of these advertising platforms. So like on Google, we talk a lot about retargeting and remarketing, and it's like you're getting all this SEO traffic from Google or from YouTube, and you can use that.
too much lumbar support.
You could use that to continually market to your audience.
Yeah.
And so with Bing, you don't really have that same carryover. Maybe there's a Bing pixel you can put in, but the point is that, like, you can't take, say, views you're getting on YouTube through, say, like a YouTube ad and retarget those customers on Bing, because it's a
right. Pixel crossover. So with YouTube, we're talking with YouTube and Google, you know, we're talking about a much, much bigger ecosystem in general that you're putting effort into versus Bing. You know, as far as I'm aware, there's not like a Microsoft video platform that people are going to regularly.
Yeah, GatesTube. So, yeah, so that's also a big issue. And again, it's kind of bringing home the whole point that, like, you need to be always making decisions as to what you can do that's going to have the highest impact on your business. And right. So the more energy that you have to spend doing all these little separate things in Bing just to get a small percentage of extra clicks and all this stuff, it's most likely not worth it versus just trying to figure out something else you can do to expand your Google Ads account, do more SEO for like the long tail stuff, do things on YouTube, et cetera.
Right. Or make a completely new website, get completely new suppliers. That's something that is always on the table that I think is an underestimated option. And we've talked about this. We're talking about this more lately, actually, with, you know, say view your website as like an orange and you're squeezing the orange and you're getting all the juice out and, you know, getting 60-70% of that juice. You have to use minimal effort to squeeze it, and then the juice comes out.
Yeah.
But if you want to get 100% of that juice, you might have to start using two hands, use like a juicer thing, like, you know, something crazy to get all this juice out. And at the end of the day, I'll just go get another orange.
Right. That's the problem. Yeah. People will sit there trying to get out the last 2% of the juice when they could just reach over, get a new orange, squeeze it, and now you got an extra 60%, 70%. So, yeah, these are just decisions that that's really business, right? It's about thinking about the next path that will have the most result.
That's how I think about it. I don't have an MBA.
I don't either. I don't know what they learned there, but anyway.
I got an MBA from the the streets of the Internet Marketing Warrior Forum.
School of Hard Knocks. All right, well, before we get too off on a tangent, let's call it.
All right, that's about it for this episode, guys. Hope you enjoyed the new setup. BuildAssetsOnline.com/playbook if you want to see how we set up our online business portfolio. And that's about it. Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.